Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Jill Arnold Blickhand, the connoisseur of Harvest Ridge Coffee. What, you and your husband, that's the only thing you drink?
Sure. Yes, definitely. I'm supposed to be sure to try it this morning,
well,
remember?
We have it in the green room, and you may have to microwave it because once we get our cups done for the morning, we're afraid that the pot's going to boil over. You know how that does? So we stop that every
once
in a while.
Mary, that's how I drink my coffee every day. 5 trips to the microwave.
No, I can't do that. Well, Jill Arnold Blickhand is here, but also the head librarian, not Marion, but Kathleen Helsebeck from the Quincy Public Library is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
We are so excited to have you because we have exciting things to talk about today. Now, there's lots going on at the library, but I really do. I think we ought to focus first about the mobile library,
yes.
The book. I'll always call it the bookmobile.
That's
she's trying to change me from that. But
right.
Tell us about the bookmobile coming to Quincy.
It arrived on Wednesday. It is here on our location premises at the library. We are busy. On Wednesday, we had training with the company. They showed us the generator and the backup batteries, and I know how to turn it on. The generators first,
wow.
And then the electrical power to run the HVAC system, the PA system, the lights, and everything, and our computers and our TVs. It is going to be so equipped. It is going to be something to see. In addition to the collection, just after the training person left, our staff, the library staff, were on it and loading books into it, and they're working on that today. They're working extra tomorrow so that we can get it ready to go to truck driving school on on Tuesday next week. 9 of us staff, including me, my assistant director, and the mobile library librarian Gina and staff Carrie and others, 9 of us staff are going to be working with Chawnwood Community College in their truck driving school for a short.
Right, you don't have to be a fully licensed commercial driver. Now,
no.
I remember when this first came out and we were talking about this, one of the questions was, do you need to have a special license to drive it? And then that time, the
right.
answer was no.
Right.
Did that change?
Good question. We found out we don't need a CDL, so we don't have to do the 6-week CDL course. Thank goodness.
But you need some kind of endorsement.
We just need a Class C endorsement because
okay.
it weighs 26,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And
so I'm familiar with all this because my husband just retired as a school bus driver, and he could drive anything except he did not have the air brake certification. So I remember when we go on vacation on these senior citizen bus trips, I'd always say, well, if anything push comes to shove, Greg can always drive the bus,
yeah.
the big, like, Greyhound kind of
yeah.
bus. He said, nope, can't do it. I can do it, but if we have to stop, we're in trouble. We'll just have to slow down and coast because he goes, I know how to use the brakes, but I don't have the certification. I said, in an emergency, forget the certification. Don't run into something to stop. So that's great. So you're going to get a new skill, a Class
yes.
C license.
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Yes.
That's something to be proud of.
Yes, I'm really excited.
Kathleen, if she leaves the library, she can go and be a trucker.
Right.
Be on the convoy. Be on the convoy. I love it.
We'll be driving it in the Dogwood Parade, and we'll get to what's in between the Dogwood
Parade.
Well,
yeah, because the Dogwood Parade, I would think that'll be the rollout when many people will see it for the
yes.
first time. However,
yes.
folks that live in my ward, Ward 1, the best ward in Quincy, Illinois, will get to see the mobile library first because on April 15th, it is coming to Bob Mays Park.
It is, yes. So we are very excited. All throughout April and May, we have posted on Facebook our schedule, 7 different stops in all of the 7 different wards. The library is partnering with the city and the city aldermen to spotlight the partnership that we have, the support that we have, and there'll be a ribbon cutting ceremony with everybody involved, library and city personnel together, cutting the ribbon on 7 different occasions around the
Good.
City.
Good. So, Bob Mays Park on the 15th from 5:30 to 6:30. These are all 5:30 to 6:30 events. Frederick Ball on April 17th. Upper Mormon Park, 3rd Ward, on the 22nd. Madison Park on the 29th of April. Denman Elementary on May 1st. Johnson Park on May 6th. And the Parsons Center, which is on South 8th Street.
Payson.
Payson, 8th and Payson.
Payson.
And that'll be on May 8th. So that'll make the tour, and everybody will have a chance to go in and see the mobile library. It's not even what's inside. It's what's on the outside, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's the crazy thing about Jill. Cop in here anytime.
I figured you had my microphone off.
No, I have it on. I have it on. You can hop in if you need to talk. I just didn't know what specifically you came to talk about, but I'm sure it's, about the campaign that's coming up, Mary Williams Barton, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So I'm going to let Kathleen hop in here about most of this stuff, but this, I know, was custom built just for Quincy, which all of them really are custom built. I mean, you can't just go out and buy a bookmobile.
Right.
So talk a little bit about some of the special features that the Quincy Mobile Library has.
Yes. It has so many fun features. It has a TV on the outside and on the inside, so we can promote any of our programs that are happening at the library. It's a joint venture, mobile library and what's going on inside the library. We can use it for programming. It'll have a PA system so that our staff can do story times outside, just do programming outside. It has an awning, so if it gets too hot, we can have that. I know the awning won't last forever, but we'll have it for
That'll be a replaceable feature, and the nice thing about it is, depending on how you park it, it will provide shade.
Yes.
And it will mean that, somebody's not staring into the sun when you're doing your story time or when you're showing a movie.
Right. Movies, yes. And then some of the bookmobiles in the past, when I was really little, I lived in Canton. I grew up in Canton, and I saw it at the mall one time. And it had two doors you can get in and out of. But our second door in the back has a lift for
handicap accessibility. How wonderful.
And to get book trucks off and on. So there's two removable book carts that live on the bookmobile, and those can be taken on and off to replace the collection. Maybe we roll our carts into QU or John Wood or support a program that's already occurring in the community somewhere, and we can bring a collection of books.
Wow. I can imagine Laura Sievert's just now saying every time there's an arts or the Quincy Children's Museum, they appear, they would love to have you cozy up right alongside them. I know that the Children's Museum this year asked for book donations, and they're doing a lot more with literacy at the Children's Museum.
I love what they're doing with Ready, Set, Grow.
I just dropped off a huge grocery bag full of books to the museum yesterday. And Kathleen, I do want to tell you, because Mary, you're talking about the schools and the museums and everything else. My mother wanted to know when you were going to come to her senior living facility.
Yes.
Will that be happening?
Yes.
Good.
Uh-huh. They will be doing those things.
And the nice thing is the people in the wheelchair can still get in and get off.
Yes.
Right. Now, I was little. You walked in the front door, just like a school bus. You walked in the front door, and then you checked out your books, and then you had to exit through the rear. So there wouldn't be a traffic jam. But I think that anybody of a certain age in Quincy, Illinois, remembers when the bookmobile came to your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal.
And Kathleen's heard this so many times. I grew up in Fowler. So when we were children, we had to pay for a library card. And anybody that knows me has heard, my mom and dad did not have much, except for 6 children in 6 years. And they scraped that money together to make sure we had a library card. And we were in here every 2 weeks getting all the books we could. But the other thing is, my folks did not have a washing machine for I don't know how many years, because I can remember the bookmobile stopping at 24th and Cherry area near, I think it's Barry Ann Park, when we were at the laundromat. And that was so exciting because we could get our books at the bookmobile.
Yeah, that wasn't Barry Ann. That was that's where the tennis courts are. That is Reservoir Park.
Reservoir, thank you.
I
grew up outside.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
But that
Barry
was just,
has a 12th and Chestnut.
Yes,
But
was just, for us, that was just huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not only coming to the library, but when we could go to the bookmobile. Because, 6 kids at a laundromat on a Saturday is not my idea of a dream way to spend my morning. So when Mom could, you know, we could get those books and things, it kept
right.
us occupied.
Kept you occupied. Well, this is exciting, and it's going to take its tour of Quincy, and of course it's going to be in the Dogwood Festival Parade. So let's ask our librarian, Kathleen Helsebeck, obviously to use the mobile library.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can sit on the grass outside and watch a movie.
Right.
But if you're going to check out a book, you have to have a library card.
Yes.
Will this go? I know that it's not just the city of Quincy, but other townships have access to the Quincy Library.
Yes.
Will this mobile bookmobile travel other places and where?
It will travel into the townships, yes. Melrose, Ellington, Riverside, and Gilmer are the four townships that are legally contracted with Quincy Public Library for library services, and we will be visiting those over the, yes, we will be visiting those places. I don't have specific locations.
Right.
I think Gina has us scheduled for Prairie Crossing sometime in June or July, and so more information will be coming out on that. We'll be posting as much as we can on our Facebook page to let the public know where we're going to be. And our staff will be equipped with laptops, library laptops, and we will be able to sign up people for library cards right there. They'll be able to check out library items right there, of course. But it'll be just like it is in the library
it's
building.
It's just a mobile library, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, and we're not even, you know, we don't have to go back to paper or anything like that. We're not stamping anything or anything.
Oh, I love getting my book stamped.
I know, the smell of the stamp.
So much fun. You used to have to put your name on the library card.
Yes.
Now,
right.
I've told this story before. When I was in Canton at Culver Stockton College, being the house mother for those wonderful Chi Omega girls.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
You know, we're both Chi Omegas.
Yeah, well. I could tell by the cantankerous attitude of both of you. But I'd go down to the Canton Public Library, and they one time
this
I always
French.
I always used to get just usually biographies. You know, I didn't have a lot of time for fiction reading, but one day I saw one of those bodice ripper things, you know, and so I wanted to get that. So I got it out, and I was signing my name on all the cards. One was a biography of Barbara Bush, you know, all this stuff. And I got to the bodice ripper one, and I'm like, oh, this must not be very popular. It's a brand new card. And the librarian said, no, nobody in Canton wants anybody to know they read those books. So every time they bring it back, they take out the card and make us put a new card in so that nobody knows who the ladies are that read the, he held me against his heaving chest, you know, that kind of thing. So I laughed. I said,
That's hilarious.
I'm going to put my name down and you just keep my name on there as one of the wicked women. From up on the hill, you know, that's reading this Danielle Steele or whoever these nasty books. So, but we have come a long way with, again,
yes.
privacy and
right.
stuff at the
right.
library
right.
as well. So as this goes around, will there be a set schedule? In other words, if it's Tuesday, you know, the third Tuesday of the month, it's always going to be here. Or is it going to be a little bit more flexible? Because if you take books out from the library,
right.
you don't have to return them
right.
to the mobile library, but
yes.
you know
yes.
you want to be able to at least get them in there before they expire. You get a fine.
Right, we're fine free, but you can't keep it past 30 days, or else it's determined lost, and then you have to pay for the book. So yes.
Oh man, fine free, but you got to pay for it after 30 days. So you better get it back in.
I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me, because I'm notorious for not getting mine back on time.
Right.
Well, after 30 days.
Yes. So schedule. Yes. Our staff are still working on the schedule. They put a preliminary schedule on our website. So we have incorporated Google Maps into the website so you can see where it's going to be and the location and stops. I know for the month of May, the mobile library is going to be very busy visiting all the schools, private, public, parochial, all the schools.
So that they get to know
so
that it's there,
it.
And then they can
yes, right
follow
before
it.
Summer reading starts, right
yeah.
before summer break starts, so they get a chance to see it and get
can,
excited about
they can
it.
They know when it's going to be in their neighborhood
yes.
again,
yes.
and so that's great.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, it comes and it parks. It's a pretty big,
yeah.
a pretty
32
big
32 feet.
So yeah, let's get the dimensions of this thing. It's 32 feet long. No wonder you need a commercial license.
It's 11 foot 3 inches tall. And I can't remember how wide it is. And we're still...
Well, you're going to have to know that before you pass your test.
I know.
You're going to get stuck
yes.
in a skinny space if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's really... It's quite big.
Yes.
Although,
yes.
you know, not as big as, you know, It's just quite large.
It's a school bus chassis. And Allison Cummins, no, not, I think it's a Cummins
engine.
Transmission, right. And mm-hmm. engine. Yes.
Yeah.
And so.
So, you know, it's basically going to be the same maneuverability as a school bus,
yes.
Which is, it'll have some maneuverability, but again, and I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it. Is there a color scheme? Is there a color scheme as opposed to? Pull it up on your phone and
yes.
describe it to us, please.
Yes.
Don't just
yes.
show me, but describe it to the whole world. Well, this is exciting. How much did this darn thing cost?
This vehicle cost $302,000. We placed the order 3 years ago in May, and that was a challenge after COVID.
Because costs went up, I'm sure. Oh, my gosh. It's very multicolored.
It's very multicolored.
Rainbows and the Quincy Public Library logo, and oranges and greens and all
yes.
kinds of things with pencils and pens. And, oh, my goodness gracious me. That and that just barely fits.
Yes. yes. So that's just our like, driveway.
Right.
We still need to cut out about 8 inches of brick to get it into the garage. Because back in the day, I don't think that they had HVAC systems.
Mm-hmm.
In mobile libraries, or they didn't have them on top.
Right, they didn't have them on top.
And so that is something I didn't...
Added. We didn't count on that, yeah. So there's always been... So you talk about the cost being $302,000.
Yes.
Was that the original cost? Is that close to the original cost? Did you have to cut back? Or because usually costs go up when something takes 3 years, or did they...
Oh,
they guaranteed
it.
The
they
price.
They guaranteed that price. Mm-hmm. May 1. I've been working with the QPL board and the Mary Williams board, and at one point they said, we need to order this because a few months before, it had gone up 20 or 25% from the original quote. And so they said, we need to put the down payment down. We need to commit to this. And they did very graciously. And so there was a lot of issues after COVID with supply chain and labor. They didn't have labor for a long time. It took them a year and a half to get the Thomas chassis, the frame,
right.
to the business.
And then we had our own issues with labor and
yes.
everything, you
yes.
know, and people
yes.
used to working from home, and did they want to come back? And
right.
So is driving the bookmobile a curse? Or is that something everybody wants to do? Because I personally would not want to drive this thing if I was a library employee. I wouldn't mind maybe working on the darn thing, but
yes.
is it a joy? I mean, is it like their dream job to drive it, or is it
yes.
is it a curse? You have to drive it today.
Well, there's a wide variety of employees at the Quincy Public Library, and we have a wide variety of opportunities. A wide
so if you want to drive it, you can
yes.
drive it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gina and Carrie. Carrie Hummel just moved back to the area a couple years ago, and she was the mobile librarian in her previous job at her previous library. And so she has experience driving vehicles, not this particular vehicle, but she's very excited. And Gina is our mobile librarian, and she was the first hired for this project, and she is very excited. And the rest of our core group of nine that are going to be trained are all very excited. And there are some, I can't drive for medical reasons.
Sure.
Seeing reasons.
Absolutely. I just don't want to. When I hired on with the library, one of my job descriptions was not going to be have to drive this big old school bus.
Right,
so.
Right.
But it's good that there are enough people that want
yes.
to do it. Because,
yes.
you know, again, like frankly, I think it'd be great to, do the what's it called when you curate
yes,
the
yes.
book selection
yes, yes.
and to do all that and decide what kind of programs are going to be
right.
on there.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think I'd be the one. I can't drive a car, much less without hitting things.
Right.
I don't think you'd want.
But
yes. I'm sure it's well insured. Well, the
yes,
the
is.
Mobile library is here after 3 years.
Mary, do you mind? You had asked about the cost, and that's kind of why I'm here to
okay.
talk a little
yeah,
bit
please
about
do.
How we raise the money. And you mentioned my role. I'm on the board of the Mary Williams Spartan Foundation. And also a new member of Friends of the Library. So one of the things that's unique about the library is that we're funded in actually three different ways. We've got the Quincy Public Library through the City of Quincy does some of the funding. We've got Friends of the Library. If you've been to the library, which I hope you have. I know you have. But you walk in the door, you turn right, there's Secondhand Prose. And Friends of the Library runs Secondhand Prose. So you can buy used books
right.
at the library.
And large books on sale this month.
That's right.
Remember, large print books.
The book sale is going on
right now.
Right now at the library today. So be sure and go. But Friends of the Library, the money that they raise, they do a lot to support the library, and they made gifts to the mobile library.
Mm-hmm.
They were a major supporter for that. And then Mary Weems Barton Foundation is actually that arm that does work on development, fund development for the library. So our money does go to support the library, not salaries and things like that. We can't do that. But it does do that. So we were the ones that were collecting those donations, as well as the donations that Mary Weems Barton did for the mobile library. And I want to talk a little bit about donors, if I may, because that's, as you know, for me, that's where I get really excited.
And Jill, you'll be happy to know that the Charlie and Gina Griffith Fund contributed from the Community Foundation to the library.
I was going to mention that to you. I knew that because I've worked closely with Kathleen and some of her staff on some of that as we've gone through.
It was my brother and I think it was the very first disbursement we made for Mom and Dad's
and
fund.
And how many years did we talk about you starting a fund at the foundation, which is, again, it's on a donor's timeline with that.
I think you talked to me about it for about 9 years, and when I finally decided to do it, it took about 9 minutes. So if anybody out there is thinking about joining the Community Foundation, do so. Or I tell you what, another thing is, a lot of people, and we can talk about this after the break a little bit more, the Mary Weems Barton Foundation, it's better really to give your gift through them than just to say, here's a check for the library.
Yes,
and there's a whole bunch of reasons for
that
are hard to explain, but definitely, that is one critical aspect of it. So I served on the board with you for a long time on Mary Weems Barton. I think Brian is still...
Brian's still on the board.
Brian's still on the board.
I'm finishing my fifth year,
I think it is. Brian Ketter's our comptroller that we make fun of every morning here at the radio station. He is the treasurer, and I got him involved in Mary Weems Barton because, again, it takes a whole different kind of group of individuals. You've got good fiscal management. Obviously, Brian brings in the great accounting skills to understand how everything's going. Of course, they are privately audited, so you don't have to worry about that. But it's got to be people who understand that this is for the long-term endowment of our community to make sure that special things can happen like a mobile library.
Yeah. Well, and we were so fortunate. We had... I'm careful about mentioning donors because I haven't talked with Kathleen yet about some of the donors that we that may want anonymity. But for example, we got a wonderful grant or a donation through Arts Quincy, and that came through another donor used Arts Quincy as its fiscal sponsor to make that gift because, again, wanted to work anonymously. Got a wonderful gift from the Tracy Family Foundation that did a match with us. Mm-hmm. That was exciting. The Rotary Club did one. And I have to be honest, I love the personal relationships I have with donors, but I have someone who I worked with, a donor through the Community Foundation who has become a dear friend who has not lived here forever. And he had seen the information about the bookmobile because he still follows Quincy. He lives on one of the coasts now. And he had texted me about it, and did I know anything about it? I said, oh, honey, you're going to be so sorry. I'm on the board. He made, between his Community Foundation fund and another donor-advised fund he has with his he made a $30,000 gift, and he has not lived here for years.
But that's the memory that he had, and he wants the children of today to do that. Yeah.
When he came to visit recently, Kathleen and her staff, it was the most fun. And this gentleman he is as reticent and introverted as I'm not, and I have never seen him so. I mean, he told us stories. He reminisced. This is what these things are about. Again, we talk about it, and he's much younger than I am. But he had memories of the library and of the bookmobile. That's what it was. There are people who made that solid financial advancement, and then people who said, you know what, this was my salvation as a child. And this is something I want to get back to. The other thing that I want people to know, the Mary Memes Barton Foundation, again, we are the 501c3 that works with the library and for the library. I've had people who said, well, we had a bookmobile once and they closed it down. Why do we need another one? Which, you know what? I had the measles once, or I had the, you know,
I got my flu shot 2 years ago. Why do I need another one?
Yes.
Because things change.
Or, yes.
And
we did the,
whatever reason it went out of vogue, either we couldn't afford it anymore or something happened.
Right.
It's time to bring it back.
But here's one of the things we've done. The Mary Weems Barton Foundation actually, as we were raising money for the mobile library, we also worked to raise money to help ensure its future.
True, because
so again, as you were talking about people making gifts, when you make a gift, you can do it directly to the public library, but they would prefer you do it through Mary Weems because of the 501c3 status. You can tell them, I want it for the mobile library, or I want it for children's books or whatever. But if you want to make sure to help ensure the future, make those gifts. No gift is too small. And, of course, no gift is too large.
Very true.
So thank you to all the donors, not just here in Quincy or in Gilmer or in any of our townships. But I've got friends across the river who are so excited about the mobile library. And then my friend in California.
Well, the great thing about it is it may incur more people to get a library card.
Yeah,
they will
yeah.
have to pay for that. But, you know, if this is your, if Quincy is your regular shopping stop or whatever, and you know that the mobile library is going to be here on that day, wherever the schedule is, you can take your kids to the mobile library and they can use their card. And then, of course, one thing I really enjoy about it, of course, getting a library card if you live in Quincy is free, so hopefully every child would have one. But I know when Laura Sievert has events at Jackson Pool or whatever, you guys can pull up alongside and play a movie off of your projection type of thing. And there can also be great things for kids to do that are programs. And so that can help children that aren't even in Quincy, anybody visiting.
Right.
They can't check out a book, but they can certainly participate in the, it's going to be a great outreach. And that's why it's so important. Again, if you want to make a gift to the library, the best way to do it is through the Mary Weems Barton Foundation. That is the permanently endowed part of the library, and they are keeping money back so that this bookmobile will be able to be run and sustained through the future. There's also a wonderful group called Friends of the Library, and they do a lot of things, including the book sale that's happening today. I happen to belong to that group now, off of Mary Weems, onto Friends of Library. And the great thing about that is that's where you get some of your volunteer base.
Oh, yes.
When
you
have an event at the library, or if you're going to, if the mobile library is going to a park and you know you're going to have a huge outpouring because you're doing something special, you can call on those friends to say, would you go and help us, you know, keep crowd control change puppets out or whatever needs to happen.
To ask them to help us with the bookmobile, and they are great help with our already existing programs. They were at the Stuffed Animal Sleepover a few weeks ago, helping with food, and a great asset. About 30 or 40 volunteers run the bookstore purely as volunteers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They don't get paid, and they pour their lives into that bookstore, which is so grateful.
And they're having that sale today. So today and tomorrow, stop by the library. Ends at 4:30 today and tomorrow, 9:30 to 4:30. So it's already underway. Get your books by the inch. Last year, I'll tell this story real quick. Last year, I brought one of my little special friends, and he helped stack books the day before. And one of the volunteers gave him $1 as a tip. And, you know, he was like, can I keep it? I go, yes. I told the guy, you don't have to do that. He goes, no, that's okay. You know, he worked really hard. Well, as we were leaving, because I was early bird, because I, you know, am a member, I bought a whole bunch of children's books. So he picked out books for all three of his siblings. And then he got to pick out for himself. And he also picked out a book for Mother's Day and Father's Day for his mom. So we really had a spending spree going on. And when it came time to add it all up, you know, by the inch, it was some ridiculously low amount, like $15 or something. So I was writing a check, and I said to little Matthew, I said, now, I'm going to make this check out for $50. And I showed him how I was doing. He goes, but Miss Pinky, it's only $15. I said, but Matthew, you know, sometimes you can give more money, and that's called a donation. And if you really like something, you can give more money. And you know what he did? He said, can I give my dollar to them?
Oh.
And he did.
That is sweet.
That is so sweet.
Yes.
Isn't that just, and see again, you don't know when it comes to reading how excited he was to pick out books for his siblings.
Yeah.
And I mean,
my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter is 5 now, but when she was 4, we were heading to the library on a Saturday morning. My grandchildren live out of town, and so she was with me for the weekend, and we'd had Saturday sisters breakfast with my girlfriends, and we were heading to the library, and from the back seat, my little 4-year-old granddaughter, who was reading at that time, said, Grandma, my 2 favorite places in the world, do you know what they are? And I said, no, sweetie, bookstores and libraries.
Oh, wow.
Grandma just about cried.
Yeah.
And what some people don't realize, the library, the bookmobile, it's not just books.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh, every time I walk in the library, there are people that are doing puzzles. The teenagers, I've been doing, as I said, some volunteer office work and listening to the teenagers in the afternoon back in the back room. I have a voice that carries. It's nothing like those kids.
Right.
The book clubs. I'm in 2 different book clubs, and one of them is going to contribute to my weight, unfortunately, the new cooks and books, but gosh, it's so much fun. There are just job searches, genealogy. I went in and did some genealogy searches before we went to Europe a couple years ago to find more about my great-great-grandparents. It's just so much.
Okay, well, speaking of so much, time has gotten away from us, but that's okay. I'm excited about the new bookmobile.
Thank you,
Look
Mary.
Forward at all 7 of Quincy's wards, starting with Bob Mays Park on the 15th, Frederick Ball on the 17th, Upper Mormon the 22nd, Madison Park the 29th, Denman Elementary on the 1st, Johnson Park on the 6th, and the Parsons Center at 8th and Payson on the 8th of May. We'll take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there. I am not old, but I've known my next guest since he was a small child, so I guess I am old. And the other one I've known since he was a small child, too, but I was a small child at that time. Grant Farmer is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jim Obert.
Good morning.
Sometimes a Saturday morning voice
sometimes.
On WTAD. And you're here to talk about Rotary, and I'm shortchanging you guys, so let's get right to it. Grant Farmer, what's happening in Rotary?
Well, I know you love a perfect segue, Mary, and coming off of talking about the Quincy Public Library and the things that we do with Rotary, one of the first roles that I had when I joined the Rotary Club of Quincy was taking over our grant writing committee, and the first grant that I wrote was actually for the Quincy Public Mobile Library. So it all pulls together quite nicely. But no, we have a lot of exciting things going on with Rotary. You know, we're very fortunate just to have a club of a lot of people who are kind, hardworking people who really care about our community and want to see it thrive. You know, just in the past year alone, we've been able to grant $50,000 to the John Wood Workforce Development Center, all the great work that they're doing for our local industry out there. Coming up in the next couple weeks, we have our Rotary Teen Career Day, where we take local high school students, invite them to come to a Rotary meeting, be a part of that, see how that operates. And then we match them up with club members across various different industries and whatever interest they have. You know, we feel that young people, they get asked all this time this question of, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say, well, I don't know. I've never been around any of this. And it really gives them the opportunity to sort of match up with someone who's been in a profession for a while and see what it is like to work in that industry. So we have that coming up on April 15th, and we're very excited about that.
Yeah, JT Dozier, he does such a great job with that. He's been a long time Rotarian, so he really promotes that. He calls it our second favorite
Rotary event of the year, which the first one, well, maybe JT says this is the first one, but Oktoberfest is always our big thing, Mary, that we've had now for the last few years, and that's held, that'll be the last weekend of September, so if you're writing on making your schedule, put that on your calendar, but October or September, it's the Oktoberfest, but September the 28th, and I know this weekend Speaking of the area in Quincy, it's the big downtown cleanup, and we have a good group of Rotarians that will be participating. That's tomorrow morning. They're going to gather, if weather permitting, I guess, and help with cleanup of downtown.
Well, just ahead of our Dogwood Festival and all the things that are happening, that's a great idea. I love it. Now, is that something, I know there's a downtown cleanup about once a month, is that something, because I know my club gets involved in that. I have not, but my club gets involved in that. Is that something that Rotary does once a year, once a month, or you probably are assigned a month?
I think we take a certain time, and
you
this is
April.
We're going to be
time.
April, if as far as I know, and I'm not going to be involved with that tomorrow. I don't think Grant can make that one either. But again, we will be there. We're constantly involved in the community. So many activities, too numerous to mention. But you know, we go back, and one of the fun things I always think about our Rotary Club is if you ever go to the South Park and the Shelter House, one of the first items that Rotary funded is the Shelter House. So if you ever go there, look for our Rotary symbol there. And it's always neat as Rotarians, no matter if we're in Quincy or around the world or country, we always look for Rotary. And you can see it in so many places. This was funded by Rotary. And again, Grant's been very involved. He talks about the grant writing and with the public, the mobile library coming up. And there's so many. And right now, we are in the prime time looking for people to help. Right, Grant? We're looking for those people out in the community or that organization that needs some money. Come to the Rotary Club now. Get your applications in. We would like to have the opportunity to look at your application and see what we can do for you.
Yeah, so what makes a good application? What kind of projects are you looking for?
Yeah, so we're looking to fill those needs that might not necessarily be met with sort of the bigger grants. You know, we mentioned the $50,000 to the John Wood Workforce Development Center, the grant that we did for the mobile library. But what we do with our request for funds committee, which Jim and I are both members of, is we take requests from local nonprofits who are looking to fill projects, just to highlight some ones that we've done just in the past year. The Illinois Veterans Home Library, they suffered some water damage to a section of their library, and the state was able to come in and replace some of those books, but there was a gap. And so what we did as a club is we decided that we would like to take some of our funds that we had set aside for specific projects like this and use those to sort of to give to the library and to then be able to replace those books.
How do we apply? Is it online? Because we're running out of time. As Jim knows, we have to watch that clock. How do we apply?
If you know a nonprofit that is interested, I would encourage them to reach out to QuincyRotary@gmail.com. QuincyRotary@gmail.com is the best place, and then that will get to our committee. We're looking to review applications probably around the end of May.
Okay.
And then we'll make our decision sometime in June, reach out to the applicants and let them know if we're able to bring them some good news or not.
And then you have to sell that much beer at Oktoberfest to make
exactly.
those grants.
Exactly, and then everyone needs to come out to Oktoberfest and purchase plenty of tokens to help support our good deeds.
Well, thank you, Grant Farmer, and thank you, Jim Obert. And
thank
Fox
you.
News is next.
Thank you.